From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, digging into Proposition 2, voters are deciding on changes to Texas home equity lending. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas voters are being asked to go to the polls and decide on 7 constitutional amendments. Election day is Tuesday, November the 7th. These propositions vary from offering property tax exemptions for partially disabled veterans who receive a donated home, that's Prop 1, and allowing banks and credit unions to conduct savings promotional raffles to promote savings by offering prizes. That's Prop 7. But we're going to zero in on Proposition 2, which, in a nutshell, changes Texas home equity lending provisions. So what kind of changes, and what does that mean for Texas homeowners and the overall health of the Texas economy? For a ballot measure that's getting little attention and very low voter turnout, Prop 2 could impact your life in a big way. It might make borrowing money against your home more expensive, and it might make the Texas real estate market more vulnerable to a foreclosure crisis like the one that hit the nation in the 2000s. We're going to hear from both sides. The Texas Bankers Association will have its say supporting Prop 2, but first up, I'm talking with Charlie Duncan, an advocate for fair housing at the Texas Low Income Housing Information Service.
The Texas Low Income Housing Information Service, we are a fair housing advocacy organization working for low-income communities across Texas, helping them to realize the American dream of having a safe, decent, sanitary place to live. We are policy advocates working at a local level as well as the state level to further policies which support affordable housing and also watch out for anything that might affect consumers in low-income communities related to housing and community development.
Watching out for things that could challenge a person's ability to purchase a home, how does Proposition 2, how does that weigh into this?
Well, Proposition 2 does a few things. I'm going to focus on, well, it does 4 things, really. I'm going to focus on 2 parts. The proposition deals with home equity lending, and one part of this proposition claims to establish a lower amount of expenses that could be charged to a borrower. Well, this is misleading because really what's happening is while there is a cap that lenders must keep all of their origination fees under, the proposition would lower that cap from a current 3% to 2%, but this proposition would also remove several of the big expensive items, big fees that are currently held to the cap, like your appraisal fees, mortgage insurance, title insurance. And so in the end, you've got a 2% fee cap plus all of these fees that a borrower would still be on the hook for. Also, by removing these big items, there's going to be room under that 2% cap for a lender to raise their own personal origination fees under. So that's going to incentivize lending. It's going to incentivize a volume of lending rather than quality of lending, if you will.
So when there are some people who are saying that Proposition 2 will make buying a home in Texas more affordable, you're saying that just the opposite is going to make buying the home more expensive.
Well, to be clear, this is not related so much to buying a home, but rather to home equity lending. So once you already own a home and you have built equity in that home, all of the portion of ownership that you have outright, the part that you've paid off, you are able to borrow against that equity. And Proposition 2 relates to lending, home equity lending related to that ownership in your home.
But doing that becomes more expensive.
Supporters would say that right now it's not accessible. Home equity lending is not accessible to certain homeowners, and so they're proposing to lower the fee, but really, with this 1% lowering of the fee and pulling all these big ticket items out from under the fee, borrowers are going to be subjected to higher fees overall.
And so what are your other concerns?
Another part of this proposition would allow home equity loans to be refinanced as a traditional mortgage or purchase money loan. Now, this removes a lot of important consumer protections that home equity borrowers currently have. Our Texas forefathers placed a lot of importance on the protection of homesteads here in Texas. You know, it's considered sacrosanct. And over the years, that protection has been slowly eroded away. And this proposition would continue that erosion of on the protection of homesteads in Texas. By being able to refinance it, a lender could potentially offer a slightly lower interest rate, but it also means that should that borrower default on the loan and a foreclosure should be pursued, that foreclosure would not have to be reviewed by the courts. The courts is a time for everybody's work to be reviewed, all the facts of the case to be reviewed, and most importantly, to check the work of the lender to make sure that they did everything that they were supposed to do when they originated this loan and not set up a borrower for failure. So by not having that court review, it makes it much easier for a lender to foreclose on a borrower should they default on a home equity loan.
We saw in the last mortgage meltdown, 2008, 2010, that there were plenty of banks that were very sloppy when it came to foreclosures, that they were foreclosing on homes too soon sometimes, and there was shoddy paperwork and paperwork that had not been reviewed. Is the lesson from that experience should have been that we need this type of court involvement?
I'm glad you brought up the financial crisis, because I think it's important to note, Texas weathered that financial crisis relatively well compared to a lot of states. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to these protections and these requirements that we've got in our state law and our state constitution. Having the courts, requiring the courts to review something like a home equity loan foreclosure puts a lot of scrutiny on the practices of lenders. So if you take away that scrutiny, you take away that review, then we could potentially end up with what we saw across much of the nation, where there was a lot of irresponsible lending going on that put a lot of people at risk, a lot of people lost their homes, and of course, when these loans were bundled and sold as investments packages, a lot of those investors lost tremendous amounts of money.
Texas, back in the days of the Republic, there was a lot of bank panics, and a lot of people lost their homes in that. And that's how we came up with the homestead protection, that this was put into, Section 50 of the Texas Constitution that was crafted to prevent the forced sale of the head of household's home for payment of debts. That is the homestead protection. So is that lesson no longer appropriate for today's economy?
Well, there's this is coming up currently right now with the talk of our tax overhaul at the federal level. There's this renewed emphasis on or a lot of discussion about the importance of owning a home and encouraging home ownership. This is with regards to the discussion about the mortgage interest deduction removal. So, for a long time, we have emphasized homeownership here in this country. It's part of the American dream. And so there is no reason to erode away protections that would make it easier for people to lose their homes. Having review of the work of lenders to make sure that what they're doing is responsible is the right thing to do, and it's going to protect home ownership for Texans across the state.
The people who are encouraging everyone else to vote in favor of Prop 2 say that because there is an 80% cap on borrowing against the equity in your home, they consider that an appropriate backstop to prevent this type of mortgage meltdown.
Well, it's another part of this proposition. It's important to note that 80% cap, yes, that does exist. And the way it is currently is that once you've hit that cap, a borrower is required to pay down their debt to at least below 50% of their equity before they can take out another line of credit. And now, with the passage of this proposition, you would as a borrower, could be allowed to sustain that high level of debt, you know, as long as you are below the 80% cap. It's good to have that cap there. However, that, you know, if you've got debt against your home and you default on it, you are still exposed to a potential foreclosure. The cap can help people from getting underwater, from borrowing more than their home is worth or more than the equity they've got.
I saw a quote from you saying that Prop 2 is a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yes. I think the wording of this proposition is misleading. I fear that people will read this and read that initial opening statement, the constitutional amendment to establish a lower amount for expenses that could be charged to a borrower, and they'll think, that's great, lower expenses, I'm all about that, and they're going to vote for this proposition. There's little to do with this proposition that's going to be good for borrowers.
But there's a lot that's good for bankers and real estate, because they're the ones who are funding the drive to support Prop 2.
Right. Prop 2 will allow them to raise their fees, you know, where we're going to have more room under that 2% cap where they can raise their fees, origination fees, and then they're going to be able to more easily foreclose on that loan should they entice you successfully with a lower interest rate when they offer you a refinance option to refinance it as a traditional mortgage loan.
They say this frees up the equity that people have in their homes, that people have put all the money into their house. It's the biggest investment that they have, and now they can more easily borrow against that equity and buy other things, so maybe consumer items, maybe pay for a kid's college education, all sorts of capital that could lead to a more robust economy.
Well, there's nothing stopping lenders from offering home equity loans right now. What I've heard is that it's made difficult right now to offer home equity loans to smaller home equity loans, you know, so presumably to lower income borrowers or borrowers that have less equity in their home. And this is because there's a lot more emphasis on the fees gained from originating a loan. Used to, banks held on to their loans to maturity, and their income was gained from the interest they gained over the life of that loan. Now, it's become much more common for those loans to be bundled and sold off so that lenders are making more money off the origination of the loans rather than the interest gain from the life of the loan. So really, there's nothing stopping from lenders from offering home equity loans or for borrowers to take out a home equity loan should they have equity and good credit.
Should this have been broken down into two, three different constitutional amendments?
Potentially. It is a kind of a complicated proposition. You know, it's wordy and is dealing with some financial jargon. I think part of the logic of having it in one proposition is that a lot of it is related to a particular part of the Constitution, at Section 50 that you, Article 16, Section 50 that you mentioned earlier.
This passed through the legislature unanimously, I believe, to put this on the ballot. Wasn't a whole lot of opposition there.
It's true. It was unfortunate that the tides were swayed that way, in the state legislature. There were some very powerful lobbies behind this, passing that bill that created this proposition. A lot of emphasis on getting this proposition through.
Are you disappointed that the media hasn't been more aggressive in trying to explain and tease out what's in these constitutional amendments? These things are so important that Texans have to vote on them. And do you think that if this passes, that this would have at least a modest impact on the state's economy and real estate market?
It's unfortunate that, you know, there's so much going on in the state and in the country right now. This is a proposition that's gotten kind of buried and not gotten a lot of attention. But, we saw what happened almost 10 years ago, where a lot of people lost their homes because of irresponsible lending practices. And by removing these protections, we could very well see that again. Here in the state of Texas, worse than we experienced it back during the financial crisis. It'd be a very unfortunate change to roll these requirements back and expose a lot of existing borrowers and new borrowers that might be pursued to risky lending.
Charlie Duncan is an advocate for fair housing. He's at the Texas Low Income Housing Information Service. He says if Prop 2 passes, it means home equity borrowing in Texas will become more expensive for consumers. But there's enthusiastic support for Prop 2 from the banking and real estate quarters of Texas. Local newspapers across the state have been peppered with letters and op-eds endorsing the move to relax home equity lending. Celeste Embry is the Assistant General Counsel for the Texas Bankers Association.
From the Texas Bankers Association's perspective, Proposition 2 represents the first meaningful chance for home equity reform that Texas homeowners have seen since home equity was authorized 20 years ago. We believe that this is a huge step forward for Texans wanting to take advantage of the equity they've built into their homes. And we've been working real hard to try and get the message out, not just that there is an election next Tuesday, but when you get to the polls, we hope that homeowners are supportive of Prop 2.
Prop 2 has a lot in it. This could have major impact on how people are able to tap into equity in their homes.
Well, unfortunately, home equity in Texas is a difficult product because it is a constitutional product. It's spelled out in many, many words in Section 58(6) of the Texas Constitution. There is a lot in it because it's parked over in the Constitution, and that's unusual. So, I mean, I think the biggest takeaways from TBA's perspective are the following. What Proposition 2 does is it lowers the fee cap that can be charged by a bank for a borrower taking out a home equity loan. The constitutional fee cap currently is 3%. Prop 2 would drop that down to 2%. Now, what Prop 2 also does is says that fees that are not generated by a lender are going to be taken out of that cap. So an appraisal fee, a survey fee, a title fee. What we know from our rural banks across the state of Texas is that many banks do not offer their customers home equity loans because they cannot generate a product and stay within that 3% fee cap because it's so artificially low. So if you're only wanting to borrow $25,000, there's no way a bank can originate a home equity loan and maintain that, and be in line with that 3% constitutional fee cap. We think that Prop 2, if it passes, it will help that situation. The second piece is, and this is the piece that I get the number one most calls from the legislative offices on, Prop 2, if it passes, will do away with this notion of once a home equity loan, always a home equity loan. So let me explain what that really means. Borrower has a purchase money mortgage on their home and that they took out 10 years ago when a 6% interest rate was a really good deal. And fast forward a couple years, and they wanted to add on to their home, so they did a home equity loan and added on to their house. So they have a purchase money loan and a home equity loan. Well, fast forward to 2017, where the interest rate is 4%, and that customer thinks, well, let me go ahead and refinance these two loans into one loan at 4%. The way that the Constitution is drafted and the way that courts have ruled is that that new loan is a home equity loan, which costs more for a customer. So if Prop 2 passes, the customer will have the ability at loan closing to refinance a home equity loan either as a home equity loan or a non-home equity loan. A non-home equity loan is going to have a better rate of interest for that customer. The third piece that we are real excited about in Prop 2 relates to agricultural products. The Constitution currently prohibits home equity loans on properties that have an agricultural exemption except for milk production. So our farmers and ranchers who also live on their farms and ranches are prohibited from tapping into their home's equity currently under the Texas Constitution, and if Prop 2 passes, that prohibition will be repealed. So we think that Prop 2 is a great thing for Texans who live and work on their farms and ranches.
In the real terms, this could make getting that loan more expensive, right?
I think it is. It depends on the size of the loan. It could, but it also could not. So, that's because it will vary from borrower to borrower based on how much they are trying to borrow. I think that's the big question mark out there.
Do we know what the typical home would experience?
I couldn't say, because a typical charge in Austin would be very different than a typical charge in rural Texas. And by that, I mean what the bank is offering, what the property is worth. You know, there's so many external factors in that. So, I mean, I'm not trying to hide a ball. I really couldn't say because I don't know the answer.
Well, there have been some people who have said that this will make getting a home equity loan more expensive. And so are they making it up or what?
Well, I mean, again, I think that there are situations based on what the borrower is trying to borrow where a borrower could experience a higher fee than they currently do, but that same borrower currently may not be able to access a home equity loan because with those four types of fees within the cap, the lender could not have generated the loan within that 3%. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. That the lender would say, I can't do this because of this cap.
Right.
And so it may become more expensive to borrow the money, but now you can borrow the money.
Potentially. Correct. And again, it's a case-by-case basis.
But we're asking all voters to vote on this Prop 2, and it's going to have broad implications. And so we have to try and explain what it typically might mean for the average Texan.
Right.
So when we talk about these were parts of the Texas Constitution, written in 1876, and this is an old, antiquated law, according to Texas State Senator Kelly Hancock, who is a Republican from District 9. And he's saying, times have changed, right? There were concerns at the time during the days of the Republic when we had bank panics and we had lots of foreclosures, lots of banks taking property away from land and farms from Texans at the time because they had borrowed against it. And these protections were written into the Constitution because of those bad experiences. So are we saying now that that bad experience that happened in the gestation of Texas is no longer applies to the Texas we have today?
I don't think so. I think that Texas still has one of, if not the most consumer protective home equity statutes. The 80% loan to value ratio that's in our Constitution, which means that you can't borrow more than, 80% of what your home's fair market value is based on how much equity you have in it, that protects Texans. That protected Texas from experiencing the types of foreclosure that we saw in the Sand Belt and the Rust Belt states and the Great Recession that started in 2008. And so I think we still have a whole lot of consumer protection built in, but I also think that Texans have a right to be able to access the equity that they've built into their homes and that we believe at the Texas Bankers Association that Prop 2 helps Texans achieve that.
I hear that 80%, and that sounds like, not that far from 100%. I don't understand how when you say, you can only borrow up to 80% of your home and that your home equity, and that is protecting you from a market fallout. It sounds like that's basically the whole enchilada.
Well, I mean, I think that it certainly keeps people from being underwater on their mortgages. You also, you know, didn't mention the fact that you can only have one home equity loan on your homestead in the state of Texas, whereas other states you could have two, three, four. So I think that protection is built in there, and I think that 20% cushion takes into consideration fluctuations in the marketplace. You know, I don't know, and it's been years since I looked at the statistics, but I don't know how many areas in Texas, if any at all, experienced a 20% drop in their property value at the, you know, the bottom of the recession, and or a 20% swing back up after a recovery. And that's, I think that's where that is designed to protect.
But if you have a home and in a, say, a disaster area, a part of Texas that suffered during Hurricane Harvey, and you built a home and it was great and beautiful, and you didn't know it was in a floodplain, and you borrowed against it, and suddenly the house is literally underwater, what happens to you then?
That's a great question, and actually we had a committee hearing on that exactly this week, because the Texas Constitution is so prohibitive that lenders don't have a lot of options for those homeowners currently. And so one of the things Governor Patrick has asked the Senate Committee on Business and Commerce to take a look at is, what do lenders do when they have a borrower who has a home equity loan who is, you know, the victim of a natural disaster? The Constitution doesn't allow that lender to tell the borrower, hey, you know, we're going to enter into a deferral agreement or a forbearance agreement on that particular loan until you are able to get back on your feet again. And so we're trying to look at that and say, well, look, Proposition 2 is, you know, great for a lot of reasons, but Proposition 2 doesn't address that situation, unfortunately. And in order to address that situation, we believe another constitutional amendment would have to be adopted by Texas voters, because home equity is a constitutional product.
Well, the Texas House Research Organization, which is a nonpartisan part of the legislature, does analysis of bills and things. They said Prop 2 would raise costs for borrowers and would roll back important consumer protections.
Well, I think, and again, it's been a while since I took a look at SJR 60's HRO report, but I think that the HRO report also had positive things to say about SJR 60, and
It said it would free up a lot of the equity that people have and capital, and they would be able to do things with that, like put their kids through college, and they have people do have money locked into their property, and to free it would give them a lot of options.
Right. So you're absolutely correct in HRO, where it has what the opponents say, that is what opponents say, and you're absolutely correct where it talks about what supporters say, that's what the HRO report says, that's what the supporters say.
Celeste Embry is the Assistant General Counsel for the Texas Bankers Association. They support the passage of Prop 2, which would relax the rules and consumer protections for home equity lending. Earlier, we heard from a fair housing advocate who calls Prop 2 a wolf in sheep's clothing. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 7th. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And that's where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.